So our topic tonight is, why do we worship together? We've been looking at this series of worshiping God. It will continue probably for about the next 2 months, I think, thereabouts. And so far, we've had three talks. We've looked at the topic of what worship is and the fact that we have a need to worship. And that need is only fulfilled through the worship of God. We've looked at the topic of worshipping with our hearts, and that worship isn't just an action. It's not something that we do in the absence of any feeling or thought, but it is something that is the expression of our hearts and the joy that is in them. Last week we looked at this topic of worship involving all of our lives, that it's not just a singular activity that we come to church on a Sunday and we participate in this thing called worship, but that it is something we do continuously throughout our day, throughout our life, and that it involves all that we are. But that brings us to an interesting topic tonight of, well, all of those things are about us. In effect, they're singular. They're about the burden on our hearts, and they're about the burden on our lives. But there's this further topic of, why do we worship together? Why do Christians gather together on a Sunday at church? What is the point? And I want to look at this tonight under two headings. And I hope these don't get confusing for you. Because the first one is the unity of our common purpose. And the second topic will be the purpose of our common unity. So we're going to be looking at these two topics and considering why we worship together. So firstly, the unity of our common purpose. And there's no better way to start than by turning to God's word and looking at what he has to say to us about why do we meet together for worship. Or more particularly in this instance, more, why do we worship? So we'll read from the book of 1 Peter, which is, Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he wrote two letters that we have within the Bible. This is from the book of 1 Peter. And in chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." There's a couple of key things that Peter tells us here. The first one is that we are his people. But dealing with the topic of worship, it's worth thinking about the fact that we are God's people. It says we are his special people. You are, that he called you out of darkness, that you are now the people of God. But the important bit there is that we are God's people because we have obtained mercy. Those who are God's people because he has saved them. We sang in one of the hymns earlier about God's mercy. It's God not giving us what we really deserve for our sins. The Bible tells us the wages, or the cost of sin, is death. God quite rightly could send each and every sinner, which is each and every one of us, to eternal death. But we have mercy. We have God taking away what should be ours, and that penalty has been paid by Christ. So we have obtained mercy. Okay, but what's the result of this? He says that we cannot help ourselves from proclaiming the praises of him of God. And it's God who has saved us out of the darkness of sin and brought us into his marvellous light. And the Bible uses this picture of light and darkness frequently to describe the picture of good and evil, or God and sin. And I think if we think about the world around us, darkness is something that is often used to cover up. If people want to do something that they shouldn't be doing, they rarely do it on the main street in broad daylight. These things are done undercover. They're done in a way that people don't see and notice. And so even when we think about the world, darkness is this thing that is used often as a cloak to cover things. But Peter here gives us an illustration that we've been brought out of darkness into light. And I guess that the best way of thinking about that is, if you can think of the darkest, most deep dungeon that someone could be trapped into, if you can think about a place of despair, and the human body doesn't get sunlight, it wastes away. It eats itself. It's a place of sickness, of hopelessness. That's what Peter's describing. You have been brought out of this place of darkness into the day, into light, into God's marvellous light. God is perfect light. We read in the Bible about Moses ascending up on to the mountain and God's glory passing by him, and it was a light that he had to be shielded from. It was a perfectness and a glory that he could not see. And God's marvellous light is such a perfect, glorious thing. And as Peter says, the only response that we can really have to this great salvation that God has given us is that we want to proclaim his praises. And this is part of our common purpose as Christians. Each one of us, having been saved, is called to proclaim the praises of God, to worship God. So this is something that, why do we worship together? Well, we do it for God's glory, because he saved us. We are his people, and so we praise him. But the thing we're looking at tonight is that we meet together to praise him. I don't know, has anyone ever celebrated a birthday? Right. When you celebrated a birthday, when you did something joyful, did you go into a quiet room, lock the door, and sing happy birthday to yourself? No? Why not, Andrew? Right. We like to celebrate. We like to do things that are joyous together. Joy is something that is shared. We can have personal joy, but joy is definitely something that is even greater when we share it. We celebrate birthdays together because there is joy in being with one another. There is joy in gathering together. So if we're called as Christians to praise God, then part of that benefit is that we meet together to praise him together. But that's not the only benefit. So I want to look at this second topic of the purpose of common unity. So we have a common purpose, but why do it together? And for that, we turn to another passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a book written to Jewish Christians. And in chapter 10, the writer tells us to let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. think it's probably more helpful to give a slight illustration about that. And I do have a volunteer that's been previously seconded out of the audience. Andrew, do you want to help me out here? Come on. Okay. I have a little bag here. What have we got? Okay. We shall look at the topic of string. Is that a normal ball of string? It's not quite as pretty as the one on the screen. I've squashed it in my bag. Normal string? Okay. Can you pull that? Pull it? Come on, pull. Yep. String breaks on its own. Well, let's think about that string as a person. And that person has with them the weight of the world. I know that because the label says so. And just so we don't break the floor, we'll do that. Andrew, let's get you a bigger piece of string. Don't think you can do it with that piece. Okay. Can you try picking up the weight of the world? Yeah, I'll get rid of that. Come on. Can you do it? No? Give your hand. Ready? Ready? Set? Whoops. The weight of the world can be too much for one person. But that's a nice big piece of string. What happens if it was two people? Shall we try again? Okay. There we go. Can I help try this thing? That same string together is an awful lot stronger. Thank you, Andrew. Passage of Hebrews is trying to teach us a lesson, and it's an important one about the topic of worship, of Christians meeting together. Because his key point is that it's not actually about each one of us, it's about one another, it's about us together. And the point of considering one another is that we exhort. It's a word probably we don't use that often, but really encourage one another in this topic of stirring up love and good works. But the key way that he says we do that is we do it by getting together. It's very hard to encourage each other when we're each locked in our own little room singing happy birthday to ourselves. It doesn't happen. The same as when the weight of the world is on us individually, it can be more than we can bear. But together, we are able to do far more than we can individually as Christians. Because we assemble together and we, as we saw before, we encourage one another in love and good works. That's a particular benefit of why do we gather together to worship. This purpose of common unity is a purpose of community. Part of the reason that we meet together to worship, that we gather together as Christians, is to fellowship together. Is to gain the blessing and the benefit that comes from being together and worshipping together and encouraging one another. So, to look back on our summary topic, why do we worship together? For God's glory. Because he saved us. We are his people. And so we praise him as we saw. So we meet together to praise him. But also to encourage one another to continue to love, obey, and serve God. Now, what's interesting in that is There's not a lot of I in that. It's not about me as an individual. We saw in the previous weeks that there is great blessing that we get from worshipping, that it is something that comes from the heart, that it is something that encompasses all of our life. But the point of meeting together to worship is actually, a lot of it is around encouraging one another and building one another up. It's about the benefit that we bring to each other. And we do this as we glorify and praise God together. I said this little slide that we have at the start, and it's interesting because I prepared the talk and then I went back, I was looking at it and I went, there's a few things in there that kind of fit the topic of tonight's conversation. And I thought it's probably useful for us to maybe dwell on why we put that message up at the start of the talk. Because, and I'll use my little colour coding, it fits with a lot of the themes of what we've been talking about. We're here because we have been shown mercy, because our sins have been forgiven. We worship God together. And I've inserted that little word. But it does talk about the fact that we do it with each other. You can't do it with each other if you're not physically present. You can do it for one another if you're not physically present, but you can't do it with each other. And that we do it because we care for each other. And we put this slide up at the start each week. I think it's important for us to realise it's actually quite important what we're saying there. That why do we come to Kalanga each week? Why do we want to meet together and worship God and share the good news? Because there's blessing in it. As we encourage one another, as we care for each other, as we worship God together. So I guess, in closing tonight, I'd really encourage, as we saw at the start, that any who haven't obtained that mercy that Peter spoke about, that we desire salvation and the joy of God's light. We can only truly worship God if we are his people, is what Peter tells us. But there is fantastic joy and great blessing that comes when we are his people and we have the opportunity to care for one another and we have the opportunity to praise God together. I guess as we come towards the end of another Sunday, the Lord's Day, we have a meal together. I think it's a fantastic time of fellowship and opportunity for us to encourage each other, to use that conversation as a way of showing care for one another, and that we really look to the purpose of meeting together, to worship God. We have sung praise to God. We have prayed. We have read his word. We are in a time of worship to him. But it's also an opportunity for us to fellowship together as God's people and as those who wish to fellowship with God's people. And so let's take this time that we have as a way of showing care as we continue to love, obey and serve him together. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you have inspired your word. We thank you for the things that we have read tonight. We thank you that there is great joy to be shared in worshipping you together. We thank you that there is great blessing that comes from your people meeting together on each Lord's Day to encourage one another in their service for you and to share in their joy at salvation. Lord, we thank you that we are able to be together tonight. We pray that you would bless our time of conversation together. Lord, that you would help us to be able to give a word of encouragement where needed, to give a word of care, Lord, and to be a blessing to each other this evening. And Lord, we do pray this in Christ's name. Amen.